Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 10, the fourth book of Moses, the book of Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. When you blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. When you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then you shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in the day of your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, according to their armies, and over his host was Nashon, the son of Amminadab. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethanael, the son of Zuar. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helon. And the tabernacle was taken down. And the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward, bearing the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set forward, according to their armies. And over his host was Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. And over the house of the host of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Gad was Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. And the Kohathites set forward, bearing the sanctuary, and the other did set up the tabernacle against they came. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set forward, according to their armies, and over his host was Elishama, the son of Amihud. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Pedasur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward, which was the rearward of all the camps throughout their hosts. And over the host was Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Okran. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Anan. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies, when they set forward. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them day by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass, when the ark set forward, that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His Word. So we have the chapter divided into two portions again. In the first portion, which is verses 1 through 10, we have the constructing and the use of the two silver trumpets. Two silver trumpets. And they were given as a means of calling the people of the Lord together, as a means of calling the princes together, as a means of setting the march forward, and as a means of worship as they were blown over the sacrifices. Blown over the sacrifices. So, let's see. Five different uses. To call an assembly, to call the princes, to set forward on a journey, to go to war. That's the one I forgot. To go to war also. They were also the war trumpets. They called the people to alarm, to go to war. And then also, they were to be blown, as it's put here in the King James Version, in the day of gladness, or in the day of their feasting, in the day of their solemn assemblies. They were blown over their trumpets. I'm sorry, over their sacrifices, these two silver trumpets. Let me read for you a couple of other passages with regard to that. In Psalm 81, you may turn there, or you may simply write it down. Psalm 81, verse 3, Blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. It's the Psalm of Asaph. The Psalm of Asaph. So many years later, after the days of Moses, they're still blowing those trumpets, aren't they? Didn't the Lord say that this would be a perpetual ordinance for them? Psalm 89:15 says this, Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. And of course, that joyful sound there is the blowing of the trumpets to get up and do what? To follow the Lord wherever He leads. What a joyful sound that must be when we heard Moses cry out, Rise up, O Lord, and let Thine enemies be scattered. And all the children of Israel rose up and followed the Ark of the Covenant, and the cloudy pillar and the fire by night. What a joyful sound it must have been. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, very interesting passage there related to these trumpets. We read this. I'm sorry, 29, verse 25. And he, that is Hezekiah, set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, with harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan, the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. The trumpets? What trumpets? What trumpets did the priests blow in Moses' day? Those two silver trumpets. And while I believe that there were more priests than they had added to those trumpets, that principle is still the same. Those priests blew those trumpets over the sacrifices in Hezekiah's day at the establishment, the reestablishment and reformation of the religion of Yahweh in 2 Chronicles 29, just as they blew them over the sacrifices in the days of Moses. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. You see the distinction made there between the two. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. So these trumpets were used throughout all Israel's history. These trumpets that the Lord had set up in Numbers chapter 10, these two silver trumpets to be blown over the sacrifices. As a matter of fact, when the ark found its resting place, when the Lord no longer rose up and led His children about the wilderness, when the ark found its resting place, rather than to carry the ark, the Levites, instead of carrying the ark around, they carried the song. The instruments and the choir fell to those Levites. But those two trumpets, they remained with the priests of the Most High God who blew over the sacrifices of the children of Israel, because they were for the solemn assembly. What do we learn from this? What is the New Covenant application? Well, the first thing is that there is an order in the church. As there was an order in the days of Moses, when the trumpet blew, the trumpet made a certain sound, didn't it? And whether that certain sound was a call to alarm, whether it was a call to assemble the princes, whether it was a call to war, whether it was a call to rise up and follow the Lord as He marched, it is necessary that that sound be a distinct sound, that there be a certainty as to what the people of God should do. Oh, the Apostle Paul picks up on that, doesn't he? Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we'll begin in verse 5. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret. Now, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak with you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? You see, the Apostle Paul picks up that very principle from Numbers chapter 10 and says that in the church, here's how we're going to apply the different tones that came from the two silver trumpets, or one at a time. Here's how we're going to apply that in the New Covenant. There must be a certain sound coming from the pulpit. It cannot be a language that is not understood. If I stand up here and I start speaking Greek or Hebrew, except I interpret, what will it profit you, brethren? You see, and this is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14. And there are many fine commentaries that bring out that Paul may even be talking about liturgical Hebrew here and not ecstatic languages. But the point is the same. And that is that we must give a certain sound. We cannot say yea and nay. We cannot speak illogically. We must give the people of God certain direction. There must be a certain sound that comes from the pulpits of this land. From this pulpit and from the rest. There must be a certain sound. The people of God must know where God is leading so they can follow. They must hear what God has said so they know what to do, rather than an uncertain sound that is both yes and no. So that's one application. And then the second application is that there was an order to the children of Israel. There were princes, there was a structure, an authority, and as long as everyone moved in and about that authority according to their places and stations in that authority, what a wonderful thing it was to watch the armies of Israel rise up and follow the Lord who had risen up to lead them tribe by tribe, section by section, to march as a people from here to there, and then to come to rest with the Lord when He comes to rest in their midst. What a wonderful thing it would be if the people of God of today were as disciplined as that old march was, to hear the Word of God and to follow, to rise up when the Lord rises up, to follow when He leads, and to rest when He rests according to our places and our stations. What a wonderful thing that would be. All right, so then the second portion of the chapter is exactly that. It describes for us the march of the children of Israel, one tribe after another rising up and leading out the tribes of the Levites and then Aaron's sons filtering in between the tribes as they marched in formation, and then the wonderful proclamation of Moses proclaiming God in their midst. When the Ark of the Covenant was lifted up upon the shoulders of the Levites, Moses crying out, I can see the old guy, just, rise up, O Lord, let thine enemies be scattered before thee. There is no army on the face of the earth that can stand against the armies of God. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 and following. Whom do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood have not revealed this to me, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and God will rise up in it, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her. We don't see gates marching around, do we? We see gates as that which holds back that marauding church, breaking down the strongholds of the world, pressing into areas where she has never pressed, taking captive, because God has risen up. And who can stand before the army of God when He has risen up among them? What a great passage here in Numbers chapter 10, especially as it applies here to us in the New Covenant. Thus ends the reading then of Numbers 10. Let's stand and continue praising God.